time with them when I get a chance is really important to me.
Probably my family then. Probably a smile, probably laughter and their company.
Three things, I'd be my husband and my two children. Couldn't leave them behind. Probably sneaking some chocolate somewhere as well. I love my children, my husband and my parents. Well, I can't deny I love my husband. We're in year 49 of marriage. So, and the rest of the family, particularly the grandchildren. And I love Australia. My grandma, she's basically looked after me since I was really little. This man here, and my two children. And my two children, yes. Quite a bit. We've been married 42 years.
42 Valentine's. Can you imagine? Like roses. Oh God.
It's lovely, isn't it, the way people smile, not only with their mouths, but with their eyes as well, when they're talking about someone they love. Although that lady in the middle there, I wasn't sure whether she'd smiled more about the chocolate than her family, but maybe she was having a bad week. Think for a moment about how you show your love for your friends and your family. How do you show it? I hope you do. Do you tell them that you love them? Do you maybe buy them a little presents? Do you maybe spend time with them? How do you show the people you love that you love them? Oh dear. I only have page one of my sermon. This is going to be a short service. Okay, well, you'll have to listen to the recording of this evening's sermon where I'll try and do it in full. I will try and do what I can remember from it, which means, Jess, I'm afraid it might not be 15 minutes long. We'll see how we go. James gives us some quite interesting teaching in these verses. He's talking about slandering one another. He says, "Do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister or judges them speaks against the law and judges it." Sorry, I can't remember what I was going to say. Never mind. I'll say the message that I was going to give anyway. It's really difficult in this day to be a faithful Christian. And I'll tell you why. Over the centuries, the West has been based on a Christian worldview. And the church has got used to that. We haven't really had to stand up for the truth because it's been sort of embedded in our society. Our laws in this country are based on the Old Testament laws about stealing, about not killing people, even about who you can and can't marry from your family. That's all come straight out of the Bible. But over the last 50 or 60 years, things have started to change. And society has become different, and it's become more open and accepting of things that previously it wasn't. And some of that is a good thing. Some of the ways in which women have been able to take a more full role in society and in the church, I believe, is a good thing and should happen, and I'm very pleased that it has. In fact, as I grew up, because my granny is actually ordained, and I didn't even know that there were some places in the church that thought women shouldn't be vicars until I went to university and I met a whole load of them who thought that women shouldn't be vicars. It was quite an eye-opener for me because I just assumed that that was the case. Society has changed, and it's very difficult sometimes for Christians to stand up for what we believe, for the truth that God has shown us in the scriptures. And some of that goes back to what James was saying there about not judging other people. For many of us, I think, that the way we think about judging others comes from what Jesus says. In fact, I will find, there is a slide that I'll show you. Oh, here we go. These are the words of Jesus. Jesus said, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way as you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrites, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see to clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. There's a little illustration there as well. They're really important words, and they get to the heart of something that James is trying to say in these two parts from his letter. That actually, as we should not judge or sit in judgment over other people. Why? Because we ourselves are guilty as well. As Jesus says, you may be noticing a little speck in someone's eye and you've got a massive great plank of wood sticking out of yours. He makes it absurd. Of course you'd notice there was a plank in your eye, wouldn't you? You probably would notice a physical plank, but what about the spiritual planks? What about the ethical planks, the blind spots that we have? We're too ready to criticise other people when we need to realise that we are just as guilty as they are. So it's really important that we learn that attitude that we don't judge other people for their mistakes. We allow people to make mistakes and we love them still. That is how God treats us. Because when we do judge other people, we actually fall foul of the law ourselves. Jesus and James, their Bible was much smaller than ours. It was just what we call the Old Testament, which is about 2/3, 3/4 of what we know as the Bible. And in there are all sorts of rules and regulations about how you should live your life. For example, can any of you tell me who said, love your neighbour as you love yourself? Jesus said it. Who said it first? Moses. It's in the Old Testament law. Jesus was quoting the Bible. He wasn't making it up himself. And just before, where in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18 is where it says, love your neighbour as yourself. Just two verses before that, it says, do not slander a fellow Israelite. In other words, do not speak against them. Do not judge them. They're quoting the law. So when we judge other people, the irony is, we're actually breaking the law ourselves. The law of God. So it's really important that we learn not to sit in judgment over other people or over the scriptures. I went to Twycross Zoo this week and I saw, believe it or not, a baguette inside a cage. Can you believe it? Yeah, it was bred in captivity. That one came from the Reverend Roger Chamberlain, who is the vicar of Badsley, Ensor and Grendon. He shared it with us at chapter. I'm sorry, that joke was a bit crummy, wasn't it? Yeah. What do bakers give each other on Valentine's Day? Flowers. They don't get any better, do they? Yeah. Friends, there's one way, the way I've just described, the way that we ignore what it says in the Bible and we sit in judgment over other people and over the scriptures. And there's another way that Christians can do that too, which is the equal and opposite end of the spectrum. There's some people who go around condemning others. Well, it's also easy to go around as if everything's okay. As if it doesn't matter what we do. But that's not right either. James says, at the end of his letter, those verses right at the end, my brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins. And read these words of Jesus. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. He expects us to remove the speck. He's not telling us not to bother. He's telling us what we need to do first so so we can then remove the speck from our brother's eye. It's very easy to make the opposite error, either sitting in judgment over other people or saying that anything goes. And both of them fail to take seriously what we find in the Bible. Because friends, you and I, we have a bit of a compass inside us, don't we? Gordon Brown called it a moral compass, didn't he? That helps us decide between right and wrong. But the problem is, it's broken. It works a bit, but it's not perfect. And so we don't always know what is right and wrong. And that is why God has revealed things to us in the Scriptures. To help us know, to help us discern, to help us make the distinction between what is right and what is wrong. And we need to listen to those words. It's really important that we listen to what God has told us in Scripture. And through all that, I think the line is somewhere around humility. So if you find yourself criticising a fellow believer because they're doing something that's wrong, and you're doing it to feel superior, or you're doing it to make them feel bad, then that's sitting in judgment over them. But if, out of love and humility, recognising that you yourself mess up as well, you're warning someone about the path that they're on, that is far different. That is what James is talking about here. Because friends, if a loved one is standing at the edge of the cliff and they're about to fall off, is it judging them to warn them? No. It's love to warn them. I asked you earlier how you show your love to your friends and family. How do you love them? How would you love someone if they were going on a path that would cause them harm, that would cause others harm, that ultimately leads them away from God? What would you do? Would you say, oh, well, it's up to you, you know, my religion's my thing and whatever, you can do what you like? Would you not say, beware, beware, because over here is life, the life that is in Jesus. This is the life into which Elsie's been baptised today. Being a Christian isn't some dull, boring thing you do on a Sunday. It's supposed to be a whole life experience. The whole of someone's life lived in love and in generosity, of responding to God for all the wonderful things he's given us. Because even though we all mess up, even though we all turn away from God, every single one of us, yet the Bible says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That is the bedrock of our faith. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait for us to get out of the hole ourselves. He didn't say, well, there you go, it's over there, off you go. He came to get us, to lift us up. That is the wonderful truth of the Christian faith. That we are not alone. We have God with us. And he is there to lift us up. Will you be lifted up? Will you turn away from the things that are not from God and turn towards the things that are? Will you listen to the words of life that he's given us in his Scriptures? And will you learn, like James, to follow him with all your heart? Holding nothing back, but living a life devoted to our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray you will. It's what I try and do. And even when I get it wrong, he's still there, ready to say, I love you. Welcome home. Going to pause there for a couple of moments, and then Helen's going to lead us in a time of prayer.